I'd invite you to open your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to have you stand with me in just a moment, and I'm going to read the scriptures, 1 Timothy chapter 3. And after that, I'll pray, and then I'm going to have Brother Duncan come and share a deacon testimony. We're going to talk about deacons, and we're going to install deacons tonight. So you've turned in your Bible, 1 Timothy 3. Would you stand with me, please? Standing as we read the scriptures. I'll begin reading in verse 8. Follow along. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 7 describe biblical qualifications for pastors, elders, bishops. All of those terms are used interchangeably in our Bible. And then we're told of another office in the church, the deacon. And their qualifications are listed beginning in verse 8. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, serious about things that are serious, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, and then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own house as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree, standing, and a great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. And so let's pray, and after that you can be seated, and I'm going to have Brother Duncan come and share a word of testimony. So Lord, thank you for the privilege of being part of a church body, and as a church body to function in a biblical way as best as we can, as we strive to be biblical. And as a church that strives to be biblical, we strive to do so with the ministry of deacons. And so tonight, when we as a congregation install men that we have selected to this office, we pray that your blessing would be with us and your hand would be with us. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. I'm going to have, we have two deacons. Our deacons serve for a 3-year term, and two of our men have finished their 3-year term. One of them is Brother Crosby. Brother Crosby had to be in Virginia to be with his daughter-in-law, and there's some family things that he and Miss Crosby needed to attend to. I have to tell you, I told the men tonight, I don't think he was too upset about not being here and sharing his word of testimony as a deacon. I don't think that bothered him at all. It's not necessarily his thing. Brother Duncan has served faithfully as well as a deacon. And I wanted him to share his testimony about deacon ministry and his experience as a deacon.
Thank you, Pastor. So I've been thinking about this for a while. Pastor said that he would ask me to do this. I first of all want to thank you for having confidence in the men that you nominate for deacon. And it's a ministry. And it's a blessing. It's an opportunity. One thing for sure, you cannot rotate off your 3-year term without being very impacted spiritually. I am a visual learner, and I can hear about all about core values and so forth and read about them. But when I see them portrayed to me in a life of someone, I appreciate them much more. And that's what Pastor does. And I really appreciate that. He has impacted my life greatly in many ways. And not only my life, but in Carlene's also. I appreciate the fact that he has books that he brings. And we study these books. And they're all always very appropriate. And things that we need to look at and deal with, and they have been a blessing to us. Our son recently was made a deacon in the church where he is attending, and I passed these things that I've learned from this pastor onto him. And I'm also having some opportunity to teach a biology class with two of our grandsons. And I can pass many of these core values. I can work them into the subject, pass many of these core values into the lesson. So, Pastor, you have a great influence on our family, and we thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Brother Deacon. Brother Duncan is a wonderful deacon. And one of the things deacons do is that our deacons have a plant ministry and a people ministry. A plant ministry is all the flowers. No, not really. But the plant ministry is they have something to do with a physical area of ministry. And one of his ministries has been ordinances and baptism. And I think it's appropriate for to have a deacon who's doing the Duncan, working on the Duncan. You get it? I don't know if you can. That doesn't work too well with for signing. I'm sorry about that, Brother Coleman. So, well. And I will say, Brother Crosby said, you know, he told me when he said he couldn't be here tonight, he said, you know, I've thought about this. And he said, one of the great things that he's loved about being a deacon is getting to know people and minister to people. It's really, he said, for them, it's expanded their ministry to people. And for him, by nature, he's very quiet and reserved. And he said, this has really been a blessing for me to have just for my life to be impacted by serving people in a greater way. And it was a blessing to me when he shared that with me. Let's talk about deacons a little bit. All right. I'm going to have a really long sermon for you. Not really, but I do want to open the word together. Let's talk about the description of the deacon. The meaning of the term etymologically means to serve through the dust. So it's a servant who is moving, and as they're moving, the dust is flying. And yet they continue serving. Culturally, the Greeks used this word in a really undignified way to a Greek person, viewed themselves as cultured and viewed themselves as intellectual and viewed themselves as, in one sense, very pridefully. To them, somebody who was a deacon, a servant, was below them. The Romans had, in one sense, the same sense of it. These are people that do menial things and serve tables, just something as menial as serving tables. But in the New Testament, God takes this term and he gives it great dignity. In the New Testament, there are a number of uses of the term. And sometimes this is a person that is the term is used as a noun to describe who that person is. Sometimes it is a verb that describes what that person does and what that person is. And there's one account where Jesus actually uses both of these, this term, in both ways. Matthew chapter 20, James and John, these brothers, come to Jesus and they are arguing and they say to the Lord, you know, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Which one of us are you going to make greatest in the kingdom? Now, Mark's account of that very thing, same thing, is there says that their mother comes. So whether mom put them up to it or whether the boys put mom up to it, I'm not sure. I haven't come to a conclusion on that one. And Jesus says, oh, fellas, you don't understand. In fact, you can take your Bible and go with you to Matthew chapter 20. Jesus says to these men, Matthew chapter 20, I'll begin reading in verse 21. Actually, I'll start reading in verse 24. When the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brothers. Those other disciples, they didn't like it either. I guess they wanted their place in the kingdom. And Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So in verse 26, this one that Jesus recognizes is described as the one that's truly great is described as your minister. A servant. And then in verse 27, whoever will be chief, let him be your servant. That's the verb of it. So that this individual, a deacon, is a servant in what he does and a servant in who he is. So beyond the description of the deacon, there's the deployment of the deacon. And we turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 6. And in Acts chapter 6, we're told about the first time that deacons are employed. Acts chapter 6, I'll begin reading in verse 1. In those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring among the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. The 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reasonable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. And to this problem, here's the solution. Wherefore, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So these deacons were used, in fact, the word for deacon is translated in our Bible, to serve tables, to deacon. And these deacons were deployed as a solution to a problem so that the church could continue to have healthy growth and development. Now, beyond that, there's a demonstration of a deacon. So we find this deacon described in their first time of ministry. They are told that their ministry is to serve tables in verse 6. But then that's the verb part of ministering as a deacon. But then the noun, the person of man is addressed, because we read in verse 3 that these are men who have very specific character qualities. That even in the early church, when these men were first put into this role of ministry, that the attributes of the man made all the difference. Now, this is the first time this term is used in the church. So you ask yourself, the first time this was used, was this just a passing thing to meet an immediate need? Or is this something that became a practice of the church, continuing in the ministry of the church? And to answer that question, I'll talk to you for a few minutes about the development of a deacon. We've read in Acts chapter 6. If you were to chart this on a timeline, this would be about AD 33. The next time that we find deacon in this way, we find actually in the book of Philippians. So go with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, begins writing this letter with these words, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. And beyond that, all these believers in the congregation, every one of you is a saint. Everyone, if you've been saved, you're a saint. But there are within this body of saints, there are two individual groups that are mentioned. And these saints gather together with the bishops and the deacons. pastors and deacons. These are two roles that are expressly delineated. So that takes place. It's A.D. 64. It's when Philippians is written. And then if you'll go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, the passage of scripture we read already. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we read of the qualifications of men who would serve in this role of deacon. Verse 10, they're to be proved, that is, tested, then entrusted with the role of the deacon, so they would use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Verse 13, they that have used the office of a deacon purchase to themselves a good degree. Literally, it means this: those who have been deaconing well gain great standing and reward. Now, this is written in A.D. 65. So from A.D. 33, there is a ministry instituted. There's a problem that needed a solution. Deacons were part of the solution. But by the time the Apostle Paul writes to these two local congregations, there have been delineated two specific roles within that congregation that serve as officers in serving and leading well that congregation. One of those are those men who are pastors. The other is those men who are deacons. So that what began as a temporary, it seems, or immediate solution became a permanent feature of church government. So at the beginning, deacons were instituted as a solution to an immediate moment. But over time, deacons were integrated to sustain an ongoing ministry. And you know that's still what's happening today. And that's why in our church polity, we have pastors and we have deacons, both of them fulfilling the roles that God has given all of us in these offices. And we do so as our effort to practice authentically New Testament church polity. But then I want to tell you about the dedication of a faithful deacon. It's one of my favorites. Part about working with deacons. I've read this to you twice, but I want to say it again. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. They that have used the office of a deacon well, they've deaconed well, purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Do you know a faithful deacon is inspirational? Now, our deacons probably, because God has given us such faithful men over the years. It has been, it's one of my favorite things is working with these men, because they are inspirational to me. And there are times when I just wonder, is the world going to just fall apart? And we'll have the Lord's Supper when we used to be able to do Lord's Supper the way we do it, you know. And we'll have Lord's Supper, and the men that stand here that serve, and after we serve the elements, and they come down, and we put the trays back, and they're standing there, and before I have them seated, and I serve them the element, hearing these men that are just good, godly men, hearing them sing the praises of the Lord, it's inspirational. And when we meet with them and we share time together, and the men that they are, I'm telling you, as their pastor, it's inspirational. And it makes me want to be that kind of a man. And it makes me grateful for the men like this that God's put into my life. And you know, for all of us to have men, wonderful people that God puts into your life that you look to, that it's inspirational. But these men and their role of a deacon is also aspirational, because this is the kind of man, and the kind of men that serve as deacons need to be the kind of man that all of us would want to be. These men are perfect. No, and you had a little uneasy Stanley Heights laugh. Very quiet, subdued, a little nervous. No. None of them would say they're perfect. And I can promise you none of their wives would say they're perfect either. One of the books we're reading, we'll finish it this year, is called The Complete Husband. And I'm not sure if any of us have made it yet. I don't think we've made it yet. I know I haven't. But we're striving. But this ought to be the kind of man that you want to be if you're a man. For ladies, the kind of person that you want to be. And for our young men and our boys, it's hard to imagine when you're a young man, your boy, to think about things beyond where you are. But I hope that you can think about the kind, when you grow up, not just about what you want to do. Do you want to be a fireman, a policeman, missionary, a pastor? You want to be involved in the trades. You want to be involved in business. You want to be involved in whatever it is that is your desire. I mean, there are a million things that you could do in your life. But of all the million things that you could do in your life, I hope that you say, whatever it is that God wants me to do, I want to be the kind of a person that brings God glory. And I'm going to make the wise choices along the way that maybe someday, whatever else God has me do, maybe someday I could serve along our pastors and with those other men and be one of those faithful deacons. I'll tell you what, that's something to aspire to. It's something to aspire to. Well, with that said then, we're going to commit two men to deacon ministry tonight. So I'm going to ask all of our current deacons, and Brother Duncan is our rotating out deacon, and then two men, before you men come, I need to introduce the people that you have chosen, congregation, to serve as deacons. You know the process, and we take it right from Acts chapter 6. I'm not going to delineate again how we do it, but these, there are men that you as a congregation sufficiently with number of nominations nominated. These men have been qualified, and we check them doctrinally, philosophically, to make sure that they do fit the qualifications as the Bible lays out. And then, ultimately, congregation, as it was in the sixth chapter of Acts, ultimately, the congregation agreed these are the men that God would have serve, and they took their place of service. Here we have men serve for 3 years. They rotate off. And then after a year, they are eligible again if they follow through the same process as we always do. All right. So we have two men, and I'm going to have them come. Jeff Walton and Don Potter are over here. Men, if you would come. And Pastor Alexander, if you'll come and get this set. And then all of our men who are deacons currently, and then Brother Duncan, who's rotating off, going to have you come. And what we're going to do is we're going to have these men kneel, and we're going to pray over them and commit them to their ministry of deacon for these years. All right. So if you will, Pastor Alexander, get them all set. Put that there. And men, if you'll kneel there, I'm going to ask our other deacons to gather around and pray. And then what I'll do is let's have Brother Duncan, if you will, pray, and Brother Hill, if you will, pray. And then, Pastor Alexander, if you will pray and close us out. Let's pray together, congregation, as these men lead us.
Father, we do thank you for these men that will be joining the deacons for these next 3 years. And I pray, Father, that you would bless them. And we know that they will grow in grace as they sit under the leadership, follow the leadership of the pastor. Thank you for their wives. I thank you that they will be involved. Thank you, Father, for many lives that they will touch. I pray that they would always be faithful to you. Thank you, Father, for their good testimony that they already have with us. We commit them to you in Jesus' name.
And Lord, as we continue to pray, we do thank you for Brother Jeff and Brother Don and
At the same time, we thank you for them. We thank you for their wives, Ms. Judy Lynn and Ms. Tammy, Lord. And these folks have demonstrated their desire to serve you already many times in our church. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for how you've led our church to call these men and their wives to serve in this capacity of deacon, Lord. It's a wonderful ministry, a wonderful blessing to be involved. And serving you and serving our church in this way, we commit them to you. Use them greatly as they minister here at Stanley Heights, and may you be honored and glorified by each of our services, Lord, to this body and to you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name, amen.
Father, we are thankful for these men and for their lives, for their testimonies. Lord, for the meeting the qualifications that we've even talked about, Lord, that we as a church can affirm and say that we too agree that these are men that uphold your word, uphold your truth, and a testimony of a believer that loves you and that wants to serve this body. Lord, we thank you for their willingness to fulfill the role of a deacon, to be a servant, Lord, to seek to hold up the hands of those that minister, Lord, to support our pastor, and to serve our congregation. Lord, in your word you tell us to be aware of those who are over us in the Lord, and that we would submit ourselves that they could do it with joy and not with grief. Lord, I pray that for these men serving this congregation, that it would be a joy, that as we all work together, Lord, that you would do wonderful things through us. And that is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And all God's people said, amen. I'm going to ask these deacons' wives to join them. So if you all, ladies, will come up and join them. We have Brent and Catherine Wigington, and of course, boy, Catherine, I think this is her first time out after the dreaded COVID. So isn't that great to be out? We have Tom and Kyra Hill. You have Brian and Tiffany Snow in the end, and now Don and Tammy Potter, Jeff and Judy Lynn Walton. And I'm going to pray for all of these folks, and then we're going to sing Thou Art Worthy. We started our songs today singing of the greatness of Christ, and we're going to end today singing of the greatness of Christ. And I can't think of anything better to sing about than the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So congregation, would you stand with me, and I will pray and lead us in prayer, and then we'll sing Thou Art Worthy. So Lord God, we come and ask that you would help each of these men and their wives who have been proved faithful to have grace and help this year to continue in their faithfulness as people to you, to one another as a couple, and to our congregation. You build and work in lives, and as you are doing this, you bring us together in these partnerships, and for this we praise you. And we ask for your hand, because all of us, in whatever it is that you lead us in our lives, we are all insufficient of ourselves. And so we come to you, Lord Jesus Christ, for your sufficiency, the enabling of the Holy Spirit to give strength in the inner man, to give wisdom that we don't have, and in humility to give grace, because you are the one that gives grace unto the humble. And so on behalf of these brothers and sisters and our congregation, we pray that you would give us humility that we might know your grace. For we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing Thou Art Worthy.
Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created, hast all things created, Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are created, for Thou